The reading today is taken from Malachi 3, chapter 3, verse 1 to 7a, and chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. And it can be found on the Church Bible on page 961. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of the coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in the days gone by, as in former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day is coming, will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet, on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And that's where the Old Testament ends. We've been in this series over actually 6 months or so, looking at the Old Testament story through the lens of the image of God in every man and woman and child. And we've been especially tracing the image of God in his people, Israel. This morning, we're going to have a brief recap, and we're going to see which side of the church it's best to sit on. Which side you learn better on, yeah? Whether the left side learns better or the right side learns better. So I need two volunteers who can count to 10 to act as scorers. Yes, please, Matthew. Thank you. Yes, Faith. Now, one of you for each side. You've both come from the same side, so one of you will have to transfer allegiance. Thank you, Faith. So count 1 point for each correct answer, okay? Best use your fingers so you remember, because we'll take a moment. Right. Over the summer holidays, we had a series of six looking at images of God in the Old Testament, which are modelled on human images, what people are like. So, in order, let's start on this side. What was the image? It'll do. We were talking about a ruler, but a king will do. A king will do. So, 1 point to this side.
Warrior.
A warrior! That was even the word we used. 1 point for this side. This side. Oh! No hands. shepherd. That was from Psalm 23. Another point for this side. So you saw the next one's going to be a farmer. Yes, it was a farmer. Another point for this side. Father and... Well, Simon ought to have known. He preached that week, so it's a good job he can remember, isn't it? Okay, we're up to three each side, aren't we? Right. But then we've also, over the last 6 months, traced the story of Israel, the history of this nation called to bear God's image. And it started with Abraham, who was then known as Abram. So Abram was promised by God, I will make you into a great nation, and I will... Pardon? I'll give you one more chance on this side.
Multiply.
Oh, just in time, man. I will bless you. And then the promise goes on, I will make your name great, and you will be a... Yes, well done, Joe. You will be a blessing. They were both about blessing. God wants to bless people through his people. Other people through his people. Okay. That was all around. There's a rough timeline coming up on the left-hand side. That was around the year 2000. Please don't quibble if you know that it was 1978 BC or something like that. They're all rounded to 50 years or so. Right, we then skipped a few generations to Abraham's great-grandchildren. Jacob was Abraham's grandson, and he had 12 sons. Oh, no! Right, as I've told you who they are, let's see if you can get at least half of them on this side of the church. Well, that was about 9 or 10. Well done. Well done, Judy. Right. Definitely worth your point on this side. But Jacob's sons didn't stay in the promised land. They moved to Egypt. Why did they go to Egypt? There was famine in the land. They went there to feed. Around about 1850 or so BC. Right. We then skipped 430 years. And by that time, Israel had become slaves in Egypt. Okay. Who led them out of Egypt? Moses. Good. You had to think it a bit, didn't you? And on this side, where did God give Moses the Ten Commandments? Mount Sinai, in the desert. How are we doing in scores?
Six.
Six aside. Great. Where have we got up to on our timeline? Around about 1400-ish. And then we moved into the promised land. Joshua led people into the promised land. And Israel was led by a series of judges. Now, can each side name one judge of Israel? This is over about a 300-year period.
So,
Samson for this side. Samson and Deborah on this side. That's cutting your options down on this side from...
Jonah and the whale.
Oh, it was... We're possible... No, that comes later. That comes later. Now, Fiona preached on one of the judges, so if you were here, you might remember.
Nehemiah.
Not yet. Ehud. Well, wasn't the one I was expecting, but yes, Ehud is in there. I would have actually accepted Joshua, Eli and Samuel, but it was Gideon that Fiona preached on. Okay, so that was an extra point to both sides. Where have we got to in time? About 1050. Around about 1050, the people cried out to Samuel, "We want to be like every other nation. We want a..." And the first king was Saul, King Saul. That point on both sides. And the kingship started out well enough, but over the years it declined to the point 200 years later when the prophet Elijah complained to God, "I'm the only one left who is faithful to you." And can you remember, the Lord appeared to Elijah, but it wasn't in the wind, or the earthquake, or the fire, but in gentle whisper, a small voice, right? And God said to Elijah, whoops. And God said to Elijah, "You're not the only one left. In fact, there are 7,000. Well done. 7,000. How many points are we doing?
Nine.
But it continued in decline. The northern kingdom of Israel went into captivity in about 750, and then around about 600, the southern kingdom, Judah, went into exile. Where? Oh, God. You didn't see that. You didn't see that, did you? Can I think of another question to ask? Who was king at the time? Nebuchadnezzar. I didn't say king of where. King of Babylon. Yep, was Nebuchadnezzar indeed. So let's see if we can get in sync again. Right. Indeed. We're about 600. And then, after about 70 years or so, people started drifting back. But it was actually Nehemiah who was called by God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem around about 450. What was his previous job? We're onto this side, aren't we? I was cupbearer to the king, King Artaxerxes. We got to 10. Equal. Both sides are obviously just as useful for sitting in to learn in church. Thank you both, Matthew and Faith. Thank you for that. And so to today's passage, which is also, well, it was possibly just before Nehemiah returned, but sometime around about 450 BC as well. And today's passage is a bridge from the Old Testament into the New. It's the promise of a coming messenger who we know as John the Baptist, who would prepare the way, and a promise of the coming of God himself into his temple when Jesus came. It's a message of hope for the future after so much grim news over the previous centuries. And I'm going to leave it to Alistair to talk about that passage in the second part of our service. So let's bow our heads, and then we're going to move on with our creed.